The Torah tells us that if a thief burglarizes a cow or a sheep, and then not only did he pilfer the cow or sheep, but he slaughters the cow or he sells the cow, so he has to pay five times the value of the cow if he's caught by witnesses. If it was a sheep, he has to pay four times the value of the sheep. This is a fine that was placed upon him. We learned in the Gemara, in a Braisa, Rabbi Akiva explained, Shenishtaresh Bechet, because he has rooted his sin, he's furthered it. Not only did he steal it, he sold it, he made it even worse. Or if you say that Yiyosh Eino Kona, and really his actions were meaningless, and it was all done before Yiyosh, so then it would be Shoshana Bechet, because he repeated the sin, that's why he has to pay this added fine of four times or five times the value. We have a rule in general called Kimle B'Dirab Minei, enough for him, the bigger point. If someone does an action that has two consequences, one consequence is very severe, it's violation of Shabbos, so there's a death consequence to that. And there's also a secondary consequence, which is really not that big a deal. He has to pay money. So the fact that he's getting the bigger consequence means he doesn't have to get the lesser consequence. So in theory, if someone were to slaughter a cow on Shabbos, a thief stole a cow and slaughtered it on Shabbos, he shouldn't be paying five times, because since there's a violation of Shabbos here, that's such a big deal, it should lead the courts to ignore the fact that there was also an act of furthering the theft, which is much lesser of a deal than violating Shabbos. So let's start again in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Ganav u'machar b'Shabbos, if he stole the cow or sheep, but then he sold the cow or sheep on Shabbos, he has to pay four or five. So the simple understanding would be, he'd have to pay four or five, because selling something on Shabbos is rabbinically prohibited, as I mentioned yesterday, but there's no death penalty in accepting payment and then delivering a good to the buyer on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, Vatanya, but we learned in a Braisa that Pater, that if the thief sold on Shabbos, he is exempt from four or five. So we have a contradiction. Amar Rami Bar Chama, Rami Bar Chama answered, Ki Tanya hi dupater. What's the case when the Braisa said that the thief is exempt for four or five because he did it all on Shabbos? He did the sale on Shabbos when the sale was consummated through an act of violating Shabbos. How is that? Bo'omer lo, the buyer of the stolen sheep, said to the thief who's selling the stolen sheep, Akot te'ena mi te'ena si. You will get delivery of my pay to you, of my compensation to you, by first cutting a fig off of my fig tree. So cutting the fig off of the fig tree is the malacha of kotzer. And when that malacha gets completed, that's when the thief got paid. And then, the moment you get paid, tikni ligne vasech, wherever your sheep is, I'll get it. So I'm getting your sheep when you get my fig. So at the moment when the thief gets the fig, which is when the fig gets detached, that's the moment of both violating Shabbos and the sale happening. So since that moment is a moment of violating Shabbos, we don't care about the sale. That's what the Braisa means.
No, stealing is not violating Shabbos.
Stealing happened before Shabbos.
No, but generally, stealing on Shabbos is not violating Shabbos.
Not necessarily a malacha. It depends if he carried it out from a private domain to a public domain.
If you walked it out, the ox walked out with you.
He would pay a
Yeah, he'd pay double, but he wouldn't pay the four or five. Amri, so they said in the yeshiva about this explanation of the Braisa, if that's what happened, it wasn't even a sale. Keva de kitava le kaman bedina. If the owner of the fig were to say, I need delivery of this sheep because you took the fig. Now I'm entitled to the sheep. We would not tell the thief who has the sheep that he has to pay up the sheep. Why? Because the thief, when he cut the fig, which was supposedly going to create an obligation for him to then deliver the sheep, that act of cutting the fig took away his life. He now is obligated his life. So therefore, since it took away his life, we don't care about anything else. It doesn't even make him have to give the sheep. So then, ha-machira nami lav machiri, it wasn't even a sale. So what do you mean that that would be where there is an exemption? It wasn't even a sale. El amar rapapas, rapapas said, I'll tell you what the case is where there is a sale, but even though there's a sale, there's no obligation of 4 or 5 because the sale happened on Shabbos. Not that the buyer delivered the money for the object on Shabbos, rather, the seller delivered that sheep on Shabbos. Ba'omer lower, the buyer said to the seller, Zrok nevaseich lechatzeri, throw your sheep into my courtyard. You're walking with the sheep on the street. Pick up the street, pick up the sheep, and throw it from the street into the courtyard. Exactly, from the public to the private. And then, V'tikni lignevaseich. Then I will acquire your stolen sheep. He didn't know it was stolen, whatever. He says, I'll acquire the sheep once it comes into my courtyard. So now, since the moment the sheep gets delivered to the buyer is the same moment when there is Chilul Shabbos. Now the buyer is not violating Shabbos. He didn't do anything to violate Shabbos. Right. It was the seller through the sheep. So he becomes obligated to deliver the cash because he got the sheep already. Whereas the seller has delivered the sheep. But his delivery of the sheep was simultaneous with violating Shabbos. So it's a sale that's simultaneous with desecrating Shabbos. So the sale took effect because the sold item was delivered already to him. And he now has to pay. So the sale took effect. But there is no payment of 4 or 5 because it took effect simultaneous with violating Shabbos, transferring the sheep from the street into a private domain. So the Gemara says, is it really simultaneous? Come on, who would this price be following? It has to be Rabbi Akiva, it has to be like Rabbi Akiva. D'amar kluta kemishun chadamya, who says once an object is thrown from a public domain to the private domain, once it's caught in the private domain, once it's in the airspace of the private domain, it's already considered placed down in the private domain floor. The Ikar Rabbanan, because if you have the view of the Rabbanan in the laws of Shabbos, who say it's only in the private domain once it's on the floor of the private domain, Kevin Demachi Lachatzer Beso Kana. Once the sheep is in the courtyard airspace, the courtyard owner has acquired it in regards to sale. But Linyan Shabbos, when in regards to violating Shabbos, Lo Machayev, the thrower of the sheep, wasn't obligated Adamachila Ara until it got to the ground. So it wouldn't be Kimle B'dirabine that the two things are happening simultaneously. So Gemara says, no, I could tell you, really, it doesn't have to follow Rabbi Akiva. Omer, maybe he stipulated in terms of the sale, Lo Tikni Ligne Vaseich, I will not acquire your sheep that you're going to throw into my courtyard until it comes to a rest on the floor. So then at the moment it came to the rest on the floor is when the buyer acquired it. That's also the moment when the seller violated Shabbos. So therefore the seller is not going to now have to pay 4 or 5 to the victim who he stole the sheep from because his act of furthering the theft, namely selling it by delivering it to somebody else, was simultaneously an act of violating Shabbos. So since he's going to be put to death for violating Shabbos, the lesser penalty just gets swallowed up by that greater penalty.
But the Reshut Rabin going up to the Shamayim, even if it's in the air,
right?
It still went from the Reshut Rabin.
Yeah, but you're only obligated on Shabbos when something comes to a rest, when there's Hanacha. Has to come to rest. It didn't come to rest, according to the Chacham.
So doesn't he have to be warned that two witnesses?
And no, because we've seen earlier, we learned this in Ksubos and elsewhere, there's the famous Tanit Bechizkia, that since the act itself could have created a death penalty, even if it was done by mistake, they would have the rule of kim lebidirabine, that it's defined as a bigger deal, not a smaller deal. It doesn't have to be one. It doesn't mean that practically he's getting death. The act is an act of a death penalty. It's not an act of creating liability. Says the Gemara, Rava Amar, Rava said, La'olam ki Rami Bar Chama. No, it could be that the explanation is Rami Bar Chama's explanation, namely that the seller told the buyer, the buyer told the thief, who is the seller, cut my fig. And the moment you cut my fig, I'll be entitled to your sheep. So we say, one second, but then there wasn't even a sale, because since the moment of cutting the fig is violating Shabbos, the seller doesn't even have to deliver the sheep. So I'll tell you, but maybe he did deliver it. And since he did deliver it, it's considered a sale. Where would we have such an example? There is a mitzvah in the Torah that if a person went to a prostitute and paid the prostitute with a sheep for her services, that sheep is disqualified from being offered as a korban. The Torah says, Esnan Asra Torah. The Torah has prohibited the payment for the prostitution. Vafilu ba al imo. And even in a situation where the prostitute was the man's mother. Now, one second. If the man slept with his mother for pay, itavale kaman bedina, if she would come to court and say, I demand that my son give me the sheep for the marital relations I had with him. Miaminale kum havla esnan. Would we go tell the son, you have to go deliver her the sheep? Of course not. Because since it's such a great sin, the sin of death for incest, it wouldn't create an obligation of money. But even though if she would demand it, we wouldn't tell him he has to give it to her. If he did deliver it to her as payment for prostitution, it now has the status of a sheep that was payment for marital relations, which is disqualified as a korban. So that's what's going on here too. It's true. Once the thief picks the fig on Shabbos as his payment, the buyer could not force him to deliver the sheep. But if he would demand in a court case before us, we would not tell this thief he has to deliver the sheep because he got his payment for the sheep in Chilul Shabbos. So since it was Chilul Shabbos, it didn't create an obligation of delivery of the sheep. But nevertheless, since he did deliver it, and he did say, it gets acquired to you through my picking of the fig on Shabbos, Havya Mechira, it was a sale. And since it was a sale, therefore, there would have been a penalty of 4 or 5, but because the act that made the sale was an act of violating Shabbos, there is no penalty of 4 or 5. Then the Mishnah said, Ganav Atavach B'Yom Kippur, if somebody steals and he slaughtered on Yom Kippur, he has to pay 4 or 5. Amri, they asked in the yeshiva, I don't understand. Amai, why is he paying 4 or 5? Nehidik Talalek, that's true, if somebody violates Yom Kippur, the courts would not put him to death. But Malkus Mi'aika, but nevertheless, there is a law, there's a prohibition, and therefore there would be Malkus, there would be lashes for violating Yom Kippur. So you can't say that a guy, his action would make him pay money if his action's getting him lashes. Kaimelon, we have the same rule of Kim Lebedrabine. Eino loko mashalim. A person's not going to get lashes and have to pay, he's just going to get lashes. Ami, the answer in the yeshiva, money Rabbi Meir, this mishnah is found Rabbi Meir, to Amar, who says, loko mashalim. A person can get lashes as well as having to pay for the same act. So the Gemara said, one second, Rabbi Meir, if you're saying it's Rabbi Meir, why did the mishnah say a case of slaughtering on Yom Kippur? Afilu tavach b'Shabbos. Even if you would slaughter on Shabbos, you should have to pay. But if you're going to tell me in Rabbi Meir loko mishalim isle, he says you can get lashes and have to pay. But mesu mishalim lesle, but that he would die and have to pay not. For lo, is that so? For hatanya, but we don't do a brisa. Gana v'tavach b'Shabbos. A man who stole, but he slaughtered the sheep or cow on Shabbos. Or gana v'tavach lavodazar. He stole and then he slaughtered the sheep as an offering to an idol. Ganav Sharan Iskal, he stole an ox that anyway was going to be put to death because the ox had killed a person and had been convicted that it was supposed to be stoned to death. He stole that ox, and then he slaughtered it, so the ox was worthless. Meshalem Arba V'Chamisha, the Rabbi Meir says he has to pay 4 or 5. Rav Meir says he has to pay 4 or 5 even though he slaughtered on Shabbos. Even though it ain't Adam Mason. Well, I don't understand. According to Rav Meir, is a person going to die and have to pay? The Chacham and Pochim. And the Chacham say he's exempt. Amri, so they answered in the yeshiva, Barmina Dahi. Besides that source. Itmar Allah, because we learned about that, that Amr Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yochanan, Rami Lam Rabbi Yirmi, Amr Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Some say it was Rabbi Yirmi who said this in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Elah, V'chol Chavuras Mishmed Rabbi Yochanan Amri, Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Elah, and the entire group in the name of Rabbi Yochanan explained that case where Rabbi Meir said that a person's going to have to pay 4 or 5 for slaughtering his stolen sheep on Shabbos. Not that he slaughtered. V'tzoveach al yedei acher. Somebody else slaughtered. He had an appointment, he appointed somebody to slaughter for him. So since he's the guy who made him a shliach, he has to pay the 4 or 5. But he wasn't Mechal Shabbos. The other guy was Mechal Shabbos. So therefore there's no Kimle B'drab Mine. Asks the Gemara, why does he have to pay 4 or 5 then? We have a rule, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. You can't appoint somebody else to do an Aveira and you're going to be responsible. Why would he have to pay even 4 or 5? Amar Rava, Rava said, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira is a rule in all Averos other than slaughtering. Because there's a special pasuk, special words to include that a person has to pay 4 or 5 if the slaughter happened, even if it happened by his representative and not by him. Shiny Hacha here, it's different, Amar Kaka, because the pasuk says, U'tvacha u'mcharo, he will slaughter or sell the stolen sheep or cow. So the Torah links sale with slaughter. It's a hekesh. Ma mechira yidei acher. Just like when there's a sale, there's always somebody else involved. The buyer. Haftvicha yidei acher. It's to say that the law of slaughter applies even when it's somebody else who was involved, someone else did the actual slaughter. Tiber bishmal, tanan, the yeshiva bishmal, they taught us on the word o. It says, utvachau o mecharo. The slaughter or sell. The word o, or l'rabbas is a shliach. Why did it say the word o? It could have said vav u mecharo. The fact that it said, oh, it's to include even if the emissary does the slaughter. The Bechizkia said a third word, Tana Tachas. It says he'll pay 4 times in place of the sheep, 4, 5 times in place of the ox. Why did it say in place of Tachas underneath it? The Rabbos is a shliach to include even an emissary. Okay, so that's the case of that Brisa. Yaakov stole, but then Reuven on Yaakov's behalf slaughtered on Shabbos. So Reuven gets the death penalty. Yaakov, though, has the financial penalty of paying 4 or 5 times. Maskef lo marzutcha. Marzutcha said, how can you explain the brisa in such a way? If he would have done the act himself, he wouldn't have been obligated. If he would have slaughtered on Shabbos, he wouldn't be obligated to pay, because Kim Limbidirabini, he's going to be put to death for violating Shabbos. Now Avid Shliach, now that he sends his Shliach to do it, Reuven to do it for him, Umachayev, now he's obligated? That doesn't make any sense. A shliach is kimoso. He's like the guy who sent him. He can't be more than the guy who sent him. Amalei Ravashi. Ravashi explained an amazing idea. Hasam lav mishum delo machayevu. When if a thief slaughters on Shabbos the sheep, it's not that he's not obligated to pay 4 times for the sheep. He is obligated to pay 4 times for the sheep. And he's also obligated in death. And since he's obligated in death, we're not going to give him the penalty of 4 times for the sheep. But conceptually, he was obligated in 4 times. It's just that practically, it doesn't get carried out. But practically, we carry out the more severe penalty. But conceptually, he should have been obligated in the lesser penalty. He really was obligated in the lesser penalty. We just don't carry out the lesser penalty. So since he really would have been obligated in the lesser penalty, if he sends his shaliach, so now the shaliach will obligate him in the lesser penalty. He didn't violate Shabbos. He's not going to be put to death. So now the practical point is taken away, and he will actually end up paying the 4 times. So it says an amazing thing. If he himself would have done this act that he sent the shaliach to do, if he would have slaughtered on Shabbos, it's not that he wouldn't be obligated in paying. He would have been obligated to pay. But he already is paying because he's doing something even worse. He's dying for it. So he got the greater thing. However, when somebody else does it for him, so he's not getting the greater thing. So now what he would have conceptually been obligated can be obligated. And now he's obligated to pay. Ask the Gemara, if that Bryce is talking about where the thief had somebody else slaughter on his behalf, So my time of the Rabbanan depachi. So there really is no kimli b'dirabine. So why did the Rabbanan say that the thief doesn't have to pay 4 or 5? He should pay 4 or 5 too. They should also say he should pay 4 or 5. I'm the answer in the yeshiva. Man chacham Rabbi Shimon. Who is the chacham who say he doesn't pay 4 or 5 in that price? That's the view of Rabbi Shimon. He says that the Torah says that a thief who slaughters a sheep or a cow has to pay 4 or 5. That's if he slaughtered. What is slaughtering? Slaughtering is an act of slicing or slitting the two pipes on the throat in a way that permits the animal to be eaten. Now, if it was slaughtered on Shabbos, you can't eat the meat because it was violating Shabbos. So Rabbi Shimon says if it didn't permit the animal to be eaten, it's not called tvicha. And since it's not called tvicha, that doesn't create the obligation of 4 or 5.
But that meat is kosher or not kosher?
It's not kosher because it was done on Shabbos.
But here it says it's kosher.
We'll see in a second. Obviously, they said in the yeshiva, 1 second, Bishma avodah zara v'shara niskal. The two cases of where he slaughtered for avodah zara, or it's an ox that's supposed to be stoned, shechita sheina ruyahi. That's okay. That's a slaughtering that wasn't a kosher slaughtering. It doesn't make the meat permissible to be eaten. Ela Shabbos shechita ruyahi. But if you slaughter on Shabbos, it is kosher meat. It's not because we learned in a mission. There's a big argument. What happens when someone violates Shabbos? What happens to the food that he prepared through the violation? Hashochet b'Shabbos b'Yom Kippurim. If a person slaughters on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur, Afa Bishem Ischayev ben Afshu. Even though if he slaughtered on Shabbos, he's deserving of death. Shechita sok sheira. The shechita is kosher. I mean, they answered in the yeshiva, Savar la, Rabbi Shimon holds, Rabbi Yochanan asandlar. Like Rabbi Yochanan the sandler, Rabbi Yochanan the shoemaker. It's not because we learned in a Mishnah. Hamavashel b'Shabbos. What happens if a person cooked food on Shabbos? He's not allowed to cook food on Shabbos. It's a malacha to cook. So if he did it b'shogeg, he did it by mistake. Yeyachel. People can eat it. B'mezid. If he did it on purpose, lo yochel, he's not allowed to eat it. Div Rabbi Meir, that's the view of Rabbi Meir. He can't eat it that day, but he can eat it that night, according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Bishogeg, if it was done by mistake, Yeyachel, it can be eaten only b'motzai Shabbos. He can eat it after Shabbos, but that day he can't eat it, and others can't eat it. B'mezid, if he did it on purpose, lo yochel olamis, he can't eat it forever. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler Omer, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler goes even further. He said, if it was Bishogeg, Yochel b'motzoi Shabbos l'acherim, v'lo, others can eat it after Shabbos, but they couldn't eat it on Shabbos. And b'mezid, if you did it on purpose, lo yochel olamis, no one can eat it ever. Lo, v'lo l'acherim, not to him nor to others. Wow. So that's what Rabbi Shimon holds. Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. So this thief who sent someone to slaughter the stolen sheep on Shabbos, that person was a Jew. So that person was violating Shabbos. So that animal now is prohibited to be eaten ever. So there you don't have the obligation of 4 or 5 because it was a slaughter that didn't permit anything. It was a slaughter that left the animal unkosher. My time, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Yochanan Sandler that if somebody violates Shabbos, the food that he prepared, that he made through the violation, has a prohibition on it called Maaseh Shabbos, the creation of Shabbos. Kedadarish Rabbi Chiya, Apischa Debei Nasir. Rabbi Chiya once interpreted the verse that was the source when he was standing on the doorway of the home of the Nasi. The verse says, Ushmartem Ezeh Shabbos, keep the Shabbos, ki kodesh ilachem, for it is holy to you. Makodesh Asher Ba'achila, just like holy things cannot be eaten. You can't eat hektesh, it's me'ilah if you would eat it. Af Maaseh Shabbos Asurim Ba'achila, what was made on Shabbos through a violation cannot be eaten. Just like that which is holy, you cannot even get benefit from it. Maybe if it was a violation of Shabbos, you couldn't get benefit from it at all. That's what it says, it's yours. It is yours, it can be yours. Maybe even if it was done by mistake, there's Maaseh Shabbos. That's what the verse says. Those who desecrate the Shabbos are to be put to death. I told it to you if it was done on purpose, in a case when there is death penalty, not by mistake.
Rabbi, I'm sorry.
Please.
I have two questions I don't understand. One is, if he's violating Shabbos and he's put to death okay, mm-hmm. and there's no payment for the four or five times,
right.
the person he stole it from then has no compensation.
He would get double, right, because the double happened before the slaughter.
So he'll still get the double, but not the four or five.
Right, because that was okay. that obligation was created before the act of slaughter.
Okay, and then the other question is, you say you can't eat the, if it's slaughtered on Shabbos, you can't get the benefit of eating it and everything.
Can't eat, right.
But if the person, I mean, this is a presumptive thing, but if the person violated the Shabbat, first violated by stealing, then violated the Shabbos by slaughtering it on Shabbos, why would we think he's not going to eat it on Shabbos?
He might, that's true. But we would know at least not to.
Two mistakes.
We would know not to. That's true. That's true. He might do it further. That's true.
And he slaughtered, so why is he not going
to
eat?
That's true, but at least we know not to. That's true. Says the Gemara, said, Pligi bar Rav Acha v'Ravina. This issue of a violation of Shabbos, what happens to the food, is really a matter of a dispute between Rav Acha and Ravina. Chadam amas Shabbos to Oraisa. One said there is this biblical law. You can't eat that which was created through a violation of Shabbos. Chadam, but the other one said, Masa Shabbos is only a din d'rabbanan, it's a rabbinic law. It's kedamar. It's what we said. This pasuk says mechaleh mos yumas, and then it says shmaat mos shabbos kikoda shilachem. That means keeping Shabbos is to be like hektish. However, madamadrabanan amar kral. He's saying the verse is to be interpreted differently. Kodeshu. It is holy. The Shabbos is holy. Who kodesh? The day is holy. Vein mas of kodesh. But that which is done on the day through the violation of the day does not become holy. If you're going to say that it's a biblical law that what's created on Shabbos through a sin is prohibited, that's why we had in that brisa that if there was a violation of Shabbos in the slaughtering, the Rabbanan say there's no payment of four or five because they would hold like Rabbi Shimon, it's not considered a slaughter since it didn't permit the meat. But if you're going to tell me that this law, that which is violating, that the violating of Shabbos creates a prohibition, it's only rabbinic, amai pati rabbanan. So why would the rabbanan say that there is no payment of four or five? There should be a payment of four or five. Answers the Gemara, there would be. There would be a payment, according to the rabbanan, four or five in regards to slaughtering on Shabbos. It's only Ashara, it's only the cases of slaughtering to Avodah Zarah, which is again creating a death penalty, or slaughtering a Shor HaNiskal, which is valueless, that there would be the law of not having to pay four or five, but in regards to slaughtering on Shabbos, they would say that the thief has to pay four or five. Right.
Anyway, it's everything coming from the Ganav. And the one that sent
him. No, because if the Ganav would do the slaughter, the Ganav would not have to pay, because Kim Libidramine, he would be put to death for the act of slaughter.
And he has no obligation. I sent him. I don't have any obligation for sending him to do it.
No. Because just the four or five, but that's based on a pasuk, but otherwise not. Says the Gemara. V'Rebbe Meir. Now going back to that Braisa. Rabbi Meir said that you have to pay four or five, even though the slaughter happened on Shabbos, so we resolved it, that there was a shliach who did the slaughter on Shabbos. What about the other two cases? Amai mechayev shochet l'avodah zarah. Why? Why would he say that a guy who slaughtered for avodah zarah has to pay four or five? Kevin the Shachat Baporta, once he slaughters a little bit, Asra, it now became Avodah Zarah. Idach, now that he continues to slaughter, Isuri Ananinu, he's slaughtering that which is already prohibited to get any benefit from it. Once you can't get any benefit, Lav Demaria Katavach, he's not slaughtering something that belongs to anyone, because things that you can't get benefit from are ownerless. So therefore, why is he paying four or five? Amar Rava said, Ba'omer, it's in a case where he said, Bigmar Zvichu Ovda. At the very end of the slaughter, that will be the moment when I worship the idols. So at that moment, so the completion of the slaughter comes together with it becoming prohibited. But while it was being slaughtered, it still belonged to the owner. Ask the Gemara, Shara Niskal, why would Rabbi Meir say he has to pay four or five if he slaughtered an ox, and anyway had to be stoned? Yisuri Anan, Inu, these are, you can't get benefit from such an ox. Lav Demare Katavach, didn't belong to the owner that he was slaughtering it from, because it belonged to no one. It's ownerless. Amar Rava, Rava said, Ach Mayaskinan, Kigon Shemasro L'Shomer. We're talking about an ox that had been handed over to, let's say, a shepherd to watch. V'hizik, and then when the shepherd was watching it, it killed someone. V'vei Shomer, when it was still in the house of the shepherd. V'hua B'vei Shomer. And there were witnesses who testified against it while the watchman, while the shepherd still had it. V'nigmar Dino B'vei Shomer. There was a conviction when it was in the house of the shepherd. So now it's going to be stoned. But once it'll be stoned, the shepherd will have to compensate the man who gave him the thing to watch. Rabbi Meir Sevelik Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Meir holds both of Rabbi Yaakov. The Sevelik Rabbi Shimon holds of Rabbi Shimon. Sevelik Rabbi Yaakov, he holds of Rabbi Yaakov, who says, Af Mishenig Mardino Ixiro Shomer Labail of Mukhzar, that if a shepherd is watching an ox, and the ox kills, and the ox gets convicted, if the shepherd then were to steal the ox away from the court and give it back to the original owner, he would have returned the object to the original owner. He could tell him, Mareshul Cholofanech, I give you back your ox. Yes, there's a law on it saying it's going to be killed, but I give it back to you. So that's number one. But also, Sevelik Rabbi Shimon, he also agrees with Rabbi Shimon, the Amar, who says, Davar Agorma L'mamon K'mamon Dami, things that could save you money are also money. That which causes money is money. The time that in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon says, Kachim Shechayev Bachar Yusan. Let's say a person made a neder. He said, on me is an obligation to bring a sheep as a carbon within the next 3 months. He separated a sheep and said, this is my carbon. So that sheep, if it gets stolen, he now has to replace it with another sheep. So a carbon that he's obligated in its responsibility, chayev, if somebody steals it, the thief has to pay the payments of four or five to the victim. What do you mean? He stole hektesh. He didn't steal private property. No. But the answer is, davar agorma l'mamon, since this hektesh would cause money, if the hektesh is gone, he has to replace it. It's k'mamon dami. That's already considered money. So that's already considered that he lost his property. So that's what's going on here. According to Rabbi Meir, we're talking about a shara niskal, that is a gorim l'mamon, could cause money to the person with it. And now that it was slaughtered, it was stolen from this shepherd, and it was slaughtered, so now the shepherd can't return the shor haniskal. So that's creating a debt, that's creating the need for him to pay for the shor haniskal. So since the shor haniskal, had it been alive, would have saved him money, so that means he has an ownership in it, and now that it was stolen from him, there was a theft, and now that it was slaughtered, he has to pay four or five on that theft. Amar Rav Kahana said, Amrita l'shmaite kamedir zvimin harda. I told this entire discussion in front of Rav Zvid from the harda. So he challenged me. He said, Mi matzis mukmas mas nisin, k'Rabbi Meir v'lo k'Rabbi Shimon. Can you say that our Mishnayos follow Rabbi Meir and they don't follow Rabbi Shimon? V'akatani seifa, but we have another Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to say Rabbi Shimon poter b'shnei elu. Rabbi Shimon exempts in these last two cases of slaughtering for Avodah Zarah and slaughtering Shor HaNiskal, because those are acts of slaughter that don't permit the animal. Michlal deBekula Masnisin Mod, implying that all the other cases, he does agree. Amri Leh, so they said to him, Lo, that's not the way to read it. Not that he agrees, he disagrees with these last two cases, but agrees in the other cases. Rabbi Shimon says that the slaughter has to be a slaughter that permits it to be eaten. Does that mean that it has to be a slaughter for eating? No, he agrees that if the slaughter was for medicine, or the slaughter was for dogs, even though it's not for human eating, that's considered slaughter, and he'd have to pay four or five. But he doesn't agree in the case when the act of slaughter did not create any permissibility. Then the Mishnah said, God of Mishal Avim, if a man stole a sheep of his father, and he slaughtered it when the father was alive, and then the father died. So he has to pay four or five back to the estate. However, if the father died and he inherited a part of the sheep, and then he slaughtered the sheep, he wouldn't have to pay four or five. But I mean, Rav asked the question of Rav Nachman. What happens if a person stole an ox of two partners and he slaughtered it? To one of them he admitted that he stole and slaughtered. To the other he didn't. So ma, what's the din? We know that when a person admits to a fine, he doesn't have to pay the fine. So do we say the Torah said chamisha bakar merachman, he has to pay five cattle, v'lo chamisha chatzoi bakar, not five halves of cattle. Although maybe bakar merachman, Hashem said you have to pay five chamisha bakar merachman, you have to pay five cattle, afilu chamisha chatzoi bakar, even five halves of cattle. Amar les, Rav Nachman said to Rava, chamisha bakar merachman, v'lo chamisha chatzoi bakar. He has to pay five cattle, not five halves of cattle. Eis ve Rava challenge of Nachman. What about our Mishnah? If he stole his father's sheep and then he slaughtered it, so he has to pay four times to the father. If the father then died, he has to pay the four or five to the estate. Once the father dies, then he doesn't have to pay the full four or five, because now the part of the four or five that's his part he can keep. So it's like him admitting to one of the partners. And yet, Katani Mishalim Arbaba Chamisha still says he has to pay that four or five to the estate. Amar Leis, Rav Nachman answered to Ravach, Mayaskinon, Kongon Shamad Aviv Bidin. We're talking about where there already was the court case, and there already was the conviction, and the son was obligated to pay the four or five, and then the father died. And therefore, once there was already a conviction, he has to pay even though he's only paying part of it. That's not considered paying half. Well, our case was when he admitted to one of the parties that he owed to. So then it's before the court case. Once there'll be a court case, he'll only be able to convict him on part. Then there is no obligation of part. So Gemara says, really? Avalo Amad Bedin, but if he hadn't been convicted during the lifetime of the father, my. Eino Misham Tishlim Abar V'chamishi. He's not going to have to pay four or five because we can't convict him on the full four or five. Yachi, if so, had a tani safest. Why did it say in the end, Ganam Mishalav, if he stole from his father, Umes, and his father died, and he slaughtered after the father's death, then Eino Misham Tishlim Abar V'chamishi. He doesn't have to pay four or five. Niflug B'dida, you can make the distinction in this case. But Medvar Mamun, when does he pay? Kisham Bedin, when he was convicted. Avalon Bedin, but if his father died before the conviction, even though his father died after the slaughter, Eino Misham Tishlim Abar V'chamishi. He doesn't have to pay four or five. So he answered of Nachman, Amar Leh, he said to him, Achanami, you're right. You're right, he could have said that. But I did not say, Reisha, Gana Mishalav, Mitavach, Amach, Rachkach, Meisaviv. Since the first case was that he slaughtered and then the father died, Nasiv Rei, Nasiv Seifa, it said at the end, Seifa Nami, that Gana Mishalav, he stole from the father, Meisaviv, and then the father died, Rachkach, Tavach, Machar, and then he slaughtered. So since the father died first, he inherited. Once he inherited a part, so then he slaughtered, partially slaughtering his own stuff. So you can't say that he fully slaughtered something of somebody else. He doesn't pay four or five.